Yes, Father. Help us know that you are near and that you truly are ever-present help in any time of trouble. We look to you right now, Father, as the psalmist declared. We look upon the hills from which our help comes from, knowing that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Father, we're so captured by your love. We're so motivated by your grace. We thank you, Father. We know that the scripture says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? So we thank you for the comfort of knowing. We thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank you for taking us higher and higher, Father, from glory to glory and from faith to faith, God. We thank you that you have not left us comfortless, but you've sent your Spirit to comfort us, Lord God. And Father, even now, we thank you, God, for wrapping your loving arms around us, Lord God. We need you more and more each day. Father, we always know that you are ever-present help, and we know that you're the fortress and the strong tower that we can run unto and be safe, Lord God. So we thank you, Father, for the word that you've given us, God. We thank you for the comfort of knowing that we are your children and we are the sheep of your pasture, Lord God. And we're thankful to you, Lord God, for all that you've done over our lives, oh God. So even now, God, we celebrate your presence. We thank you for the amazing work that you're doing in and through our lives. We know, Father, that you keep us, Lord. Your scripture declares that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will be with us even until the end of the world. So, Father, we claim it and we declare it, God. As we seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything that is righteous, God, we know that everything else will be added unto our lives. So, Father, come, inhabit the praises of your people. Liberate us, God. God, comfort us and strengthen us in every way. We look to you right now to have your way in the midst of all that is going on, all that's being said and everything that's in the atmosphere. But God, we know you control the atmosphere. Yes, the enemy comes. He's the prince, the power of the air, but you control the atmosphere. So we ask you, Father, have your way. Come on, heal those who are hurting. Come on, set them free, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We curse the pandemic right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Every ill thing that the enemy has sent our way, God, we claim that you are dominion and sovereignty over it all. So we give you praise, Father. Have your way in Jesus' name. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, beloved. We bless you today. We thank you for tuning in to us this morning, and we're so honored that you're here and that we can share this together. Amen. The scripture tells us that it's comfort in knowing one another, and that we're fellowshipping one with another, and that we still do not forsake that. We just allowing this season to pass, and then we too will be raptured by what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Today is Covenant Sunday for us, and we want to renew our covenant today and honor the Lord, not only with our presence and knowing that we're showing up together, may not be in the same place, but we're all here on one accord. But today is Covenant Sunday, and today we want to renew our covenant with the Lord. We know that that's a precious thing, and as we come into that, I want to make sure that we are on one accord and doing this in one time so that God can be glorified by what we're doing. The emblems are the emblems, and we wanted to make sure everybody had the emblems so we could share in this together, because that's how God blesses us in unity as we stand one for another, as we stand one with another. Amen. So today I want us to grab our emblems and participate together before we get into the word of God. I think it's important that we set the atmosphere of our heart, and renewing our covenant is very important to keep our minds on Jesus. The scripture says when we keep our minds stayed on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. Amen. So I want to receive of the emblems this morning, and it's important that we all take it together. We have the emblems, they're already pre-made, and on top of that is the wafer. And we want to make sure we take that together as we look at the scriptures and receive the Holy Communion together. Amen. So we just take the top off like this. top, and then we have the juice. And then beneath that, we have on a separate place, we have the wafer. And you separate that paper right here. That's on top. And then we have our wafer. And all of this is sealed, so that we're taking it together. Now, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is the scripture that we use where Paul, he talks to his disciples about what the communion meal meant to the Lord Jesus Christ and what it should mean to us. This is an important part of our covenant. We make every first Sunday is our Sunday. Usually we do communion together as a church. But today we're going to do our communion together and give everybody a chance to participate together. This the emblems, they represent something great in our lives. It's not only the new covenant that we share in, but we also share in Christ's suffering. That body that was broken for us and wounded for us, the scripture says in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. And the great part about that text, it says that, and by his stripes we were healed. See, not only does this covenant renewal for us represent something powerful in our lives because we recognize Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life, but it has many benefits into our life. This broken wafer that we'll break today represents the brokenness of his body. He was wounded for us, bruised for our iniquities. My sins were covered in the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. And by those stripes, every time they beat him, every time they opened up his wounds on his back, it was for me. For every sin that I'll ever commit, for every sin that I've already been covered under the body of the blood, that God did it for me. So as I take the emblems, it's never a ritual. This is always meaningful because Jesus paid a price that he didn't know. He brought me into a covenant that I didn't want to get involved with. But because of his great love and because of his sacrifice for me, he brought me into this loving covenant. It's a covenant. Not goats and bulls couldn't do it. Come on, they couldn't slay enough and put enough blood on the altar to cover my sins. But the blood of Jesus covered it. And his broken body. So the scripture tells us that when Jesus took bread, he said that he was about to be betrayed that night. But he took the bread anyway. Because he knew that the covenant that was about to be established was for us. So he took the bread and he gave thanks to God. He says, thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. So let's break bread together. And thank God as we receive this broken body for our healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you've done and what you continue to do over our lives. You sent your word to heal our disease, and we thank you by your stripes. We are healed. Thank you for this covenant, Lord God. And after supper, he took the cup. This is the great part. This is the new covenant in his blood. And Jesus declared, he said, as often as we drink of this cup and we eat of his broken body, that we do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as we take this sacred moment, this covenant moment, as we renew what God has done, come on, he says, as often as we do this, that means we should do it often. We remember him until he comes. So let's drink together for the new covenant until he comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord did a great thing for us. And as we stand, I also want us to make sure we anoint ourselves. The scripture says that he anointed our heads with oil. That means he establishes his covenant to us. So everyone has their oil. Make sure we have oil. So that each day, as this oil is in our possession, that we take the oil and we anoint ourselves. This is a part of our consecration. So that we know that we're not anointed to do what we want to do and how we want to do it. It's the anointing of God on our lives. Come on, he breaks the yokes. He destroys the burdens in our life. So we're free to worship and honor him in all that we do. But this is an anointed thing. This is God's special call upon our lives. So as we take the oil, we place it in our hands, and we anoint ourselves. We just say, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of God's Holy Spirit, we anoint right now so that God will be glorified and honored in our life, that he separated me unto himself for a holy calling that's in him. And Father, we thank you for the power vested in us to fulfill your will and your purpose for our lives. And this we declare as we consecrate our lives, as we have renewed our covenant, we are establishing a bond that can never be broken. That God, you're doing something supernatural in our lives. You separated us from this world. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of it. It's because of what you've done on Calvary for our lives. So consecrate our lives fresh and anew, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you this morning. I thank you for participating with me as we renewed our covenant and consecrated our lives again. If you have your Bibles, and you should, amen, we're in John chapter 13 this morning. And I want to speak this morning on the subject is of doing for others. Doing for others. That's my subject today. I believe this is an important part of where God is taking us in this season. Because sometimes in this quarantine time and this separation time, only thing we can really think about and many times gather in our spirits is, how do I keep myself? How do I sustain myself? What's going around me? And many times we can be distracted by that and think life is only about me. But the reality is God has separated us and called us into the body of Christ and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Why? Because it's the body of Christ that he's coming for. That was without spot, without blemish. It is the body of Christ that he's after. And if we're going to be a part of the body of Christ, we have to function not as a separate soul entity, but as in a corporate gathering of people. Yes, we have many different functions, and we have many different callings in life, but we're still one body. And in my text today, John chapter 13, I'm going to give you a minute to get there. We'll start at verse 3. God, Jesus is really helping us and helping the disciples as he has been calling and discipling their lives and calling them out of the places they've come from, tax collectors, fishermen, all kind of walks of life. He's called them to one purpose, and that is to carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may not have known it, like many people don't know it right now, why God called them and why their function is the way it is. But regardless of all of that, God knows that he needs you to be a part of this body of Christ. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the many different pieces of the body of Christ and all have a different function in it. And everybody can't be the hearing, and everybody can't be the smelling, and everybody can't be the hands, but yet we still need you. Come on, the body of Christ needs you more than ever. He needs you to be functional so that the body can function the right way. Come on, when our body don't function the right way, trust me, we know when it's not right. Come on, if my kidney's not functioning right, my body will tell me. Come on, if my heart not functioning right, you better believe my body will tell me. Come on, if you can't see right, you're going to be bumping all over the place because your vision is not working properly. Come on, the body and every part and every function of it is vital to its existence. Come on, we can see it just in our natural bodies that we need every piece. Come on, every part of you might be fine, but let something be wrong with your big toe or your baby toe. Then everything else is off kilter because you got a little bit of pain here and it's got all of your attention. And the reality is God is trying to get our attention, whether you are the big toe or you are the head, he's still trying to get your attention so that we'll be functional and that we'll learn how to do for others. Yeah, that's my word today, doing for others, so that we are not isolated thinking that this is just about me and I got to make sure I'm taken care of. No, God's saying do for others. That's an important part of what happens in situations and crises in our life is that some people come out of the ashes. They come out of the background and they do for others. Come on, I've been hearing it all over the news. I've been seeing it all over the place. People are giving away food. People are making sure other people are taken care of. People are visiting people. They're having birthday parties on the street. They're doing other things, and it's not for them. It is for others. Come on, that's when you get God's attention, when you can go beyond yourself and start reaching out to others. Come on, when I've made it a plan and I made it my business to make sure that I'm doing something, not just for me, but I'm doing something for others. Come on, that's where God gets the glory, because now he says, now that's my body. That's my people who are called by my name. And I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get behind that because it represents who I am. And Jesus is so intentional with his teaching. And we'll cover it today in the scriptures. If you get there with John, in John chapter 13 with me in verse 3. Just want to read the word of God to you so that we all be together on this. Because I think it's important that we understand the principles of God, so that we're not just isolated in our own thinking and the world's mentality and what we've learned for many years before we come into the kingdom. We're in the kingdom now. Come on, old things are passed away. Old sayings are passed away. We might know still a lot of them. We might even operate and live by a lot of them. But the reality is, the more principles of God we can make sure that are part of us, the more godly we become. Come on, God is intentional about his teachings through the word of God, but we just have to take the time to make it a part of our lives so that I'm doing the word and not just knowing the word, but I am doing the word. You know, the scripture says that you can know it, but if you don't do it, it means nothing to us. So we got to do the word of God in our life. Come on, John chapter 13, verse 3. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, he already knew his assignment, and went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his clothes and took a towel and put the towel around himself. We know the scripture. And after that, he poured out the water into the bowl and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. Verse 6 says this. Then came Peter, Simon Peter, we know him. And Peter said unto him, Lord, you washing my feet? Come on, he asked the question. He said, you know who I am. You know what I've been through. And I had a few cuss words. I had some choice things to say. And you going to wash my feet? Well, sometimes it staggers us, the goodness of God and what it is upon our lives, when it changes us and it changes my thoughts and it changes my demeanor, because I didn't think God would do that for me. And Peter was right there, sitting there as Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. And he questioned, he said, well, I'm a scoundrel, really. But yet you still want to wash my feet. Well, look what Jesus says, verse 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, you don't know right now, but you will know after this. And then Peter said, you will never wash my feet. Whew. Can you hear that? Well, I can tell you, some people are that prideful in life because they consider who they are and not who God has called them to be. And they don't want God to bless them that way. They don't want God to anoint them that way. And they don't want God to bless them in certain areas of their life because they don't feel they deserve it or they're worthy of what God wants to do in their life. I can tell you, if we can get over that hurdle and come to humility, that even though I may not deserve it, and even though I might not be worthy of it by my own standards, but God counted you worthy. And God counted you needed. And God counted you according to his righteousness and not yours. And he calls out Peter. And Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus says something that was so profound. He says, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Whoa, that messed up Peter's mind, messed up his thinking, and thinking, wow. If I don't let him wash my feet, I can't even be around him. I can't even work with him. And it changed Peter's thinking and it changed his mentality of not was he worthy, but why God was doing what he was doing in his life. And he says, whoa, I can't walk with you? I can't be with you? And then Peter said to the Lord, he says, don't just wash my feet then. Wash my hands and wash my head. He said, now you can just not only just wash my feet, because I want to be with you so bad, wash all of me. And many times that's where we come after God humbles us and takes us to a place of humility in our life, where it's not even just about what God wants to do in my life. It's about do it and do what you want to do. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, he that is washed needed not to save to wash his feet, but is clean in every way. And he says, you are clean, but not all of you. Come on, he knew that. He knew this was a part of the consecration. Come on, Jesus washing feet and taking communion with the disciples, just like we do, is all symbolic of what God wants to do through our lives. And he told Peter, he warned Peter, he says, if you're going to walk in this anointing and this covenant blessings of mine, then I have to wash your feet. And when the revelation comes to us, God, do not only wash my feet, but do whatever you want to do in my life. Amen. Come on, the question I want to ask you today, what is my part with Jesus? Come on, that's what I want to know. What is my part? What is the hope of my calling? So I can fulfill that and everything else God wants to do. Come on, understand this, beloved. We all have been called to serve in the body. Come on, whether I'm the hands, the head, the feet, no matter what part I am in the body, we all have been called to serve in the body. Come on, there are many parts, but it's still only one body. So I ask you again, what is my part? Come on, that's the key to us living out God's amazing grace for our life, is understanding this is my part. Come on, it might not be the same part as somebody else, but I'm in the body, so I still have a part as well. Come on, it is important, church, for us to do our part. Come on, not just what we want to do, but what we've been called to do. Come on, I can tell you, many, many years and many people get involved with dead works. It's because we have not identified my part. I haven't identified where God is connecting me and fitly joined me in the body. But once I find my part and doing my part, then guess what? God is glorified in and through my life. Come on, Peter, like many believers, immediately did not want his feet washed. Come on, I ain't talking about your corns. I ain't talking about your bunions. I ain't talking about your toe that's crooked that way. I'm not talking about none of that. Because sometimes we are captured by the natural outside appearances and the things that's going on. We don't want you to take your shoes off. Not in here. We don't want to know that. And something happens with a natural dynamic in our life where we do not want it exposed. We do not want it put out there. But the reality is God already knows our business. Come on, he already knows you got a corn on every toe. He already knows. But the reality is God still wants to wash your feet. Come on, he wants to make sure you're a part of him. And many times that's what it takes. See, in the Old Testament, that's where they got around. They had no closed-toed shoes like we do, and all kind of Mamba socks, and we're in Jordan socks. They didn't have all of that. They had open-toed sandals, and everywhere they went, their toes got crusty. Come on, you ain't even went nowhere. Your toes still. Oh, let me get back to preaching. See, the reality is that God knows our plight. And he knew then with the disciples that their feet needed to be washed, not just because they were dirty, because there was a part of their life that needed to be cleaned up. Just like in our lives, there's a part of our lives that just need to be cleaned up so that God can get the glory out of our lives, so that we can have a part of him. Come on, a part of the ministry, a part of what God has called us to do. How can I be effective? How can I live my life to be effective for the kingdom so I can hear those great words we all want to hear? Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. We all want to hear that. But I got to know, what's my part? Come on, am I feeding the homeless? Come on, am I rescuing missionaries? Am I standing on the corner proclaiming the gospel? Come on, what am I doing? Boy, it may not even be a big thing. Am I feeding my neighbors? Am I talking to strangers? Am I sharing the gospel? Boy, what is my part, God? We all have a part to play. It may not be the same as somebody else, but I got to know my part. Why have you washed my feet? Why have you anointed me in this covenant? Why do I have a part with this body? Well, it's clear God wants us to know that. And like Peter, many believers, they don't want their feet washed. They don't want to be set apart or sanctified for a specific purpose or function in the body of Christ. They want to be in the body, but I don't know where I work. Well, we all have a function. Come on, if it's just holding up the weak, if it's just holding up the arm, whatever it may be. Come on, your part is no less insignificant than the part of the head. It's well needed. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is the uncomely parts that deserve the most honor. Because without them, I can't see your liver, but if you don't have it, you're in trouble. I can't see your kidney function, but if it's not right, you're in trouble. Come on, I can't see your lungs function, but if it's not functioning right, you're in trouble. Come on, the uncomely parts, the parts we don't see, are the most needed parts of the body. Come on, if we're going to do for others, we got to know it doesn't matter what my part is, it's just that I am doing it. Come on, look what the scripture says. See, God has anointed us to do ministry. He said, if I can't wash your feet, you have no part with me. I got to be able to wash your feet. Come on, we're saved by the washing of the water by the word. Come on, the scripture says that about husbands and wives, that you're saved and you sanctify your spouse and you because of the washing of the water by the word. Come on, it sanctifies us. It sanctifies us for what? A purpose. Well, now we have a purpose. We got one flesh. We're one flesh. So now we have a purpose together. Come on, it challenges us. And God has anointed us to do ministry. And not how we want to do ministry many times, but how he's wanted us to. Come on, people have been called to Africa. People have been called to different parts of the world as missionaries, to Europe, to China. They didn't want to go. They didn't wake up, oh, send me to China. It didn't cross their mind, I'm going to leave my comforts of my home and go live somewhere else I don't even know where for the gospel's sake. It's because they've been sanctified, set apart for this. Well, sometimes it's not what we want to do in ministry. It's what God wants to do through your life in ministry. Come on, God has changed my mind, my life. Come on, at 20 years old, I never thought I'd be involved with church, let alone ministry, let alone people. But God has a way of changing our direction when we allow him to wash our feet, to sanctify us for this holy calling. Come on, look what I'm saying here. See, we are self-restricting when we put Jesus in our compartment. When we put him in our own little box, and this is how he's going to work, and he's not going to do any more. Come on, we become self-restricting, and we can't restrict ourselves when God has called us to others. Come on, people need your ministry. They need you praying. They need you helping. They need you serving. Come on, the disciples got into an argument about who's the greatest, the one sitting at the table or the one serving the table. Come on, it was a big argument because they wanted to know who's the greatest. And Jesus said, the one serving the table is the greatest. Just because you can sit at the table don't make you great, but what makes you great is that you're able to serve the table. Come on, Jesus didn't draw any lines. He let them know that this is about servanthood. Not self-serving, but serving her, serving others. Jesus came, that was his whole purpose, to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That was his whole purpose. And if we're Christ followers, as the soul with Savior was, so will we be. We're not self-serving. We're serving others so that we can do for others as God has done for us. Come on, when we are sanctified or washed by Jesus, it is to do his will. As Jesus came to do the will of the Father, so do we come to do the will of the Father. Well, we got to make it clear and make no mistake about it, because God wants to be glorified in and through our lives. But it takes our commitment. Come on. So today, as we renew our covenant, as we look on Covenant Sunday today, let us. Come on, that's the key. Let us be mindful that we have been blessed and we have been anointed to do ministry. Come on, I ain't talking about self-ministry. I'm talking about doing for others. Come on, Jesus set this in motion for our lives so that what he has done for us, we will do for others. That's what he told Peter. He told Peter, look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, so when he had washed their feet and he had taken his clothes, put them back on, sat down again, he said these amazing words. He said to them, do you know what I just did for you? Because they thought they just got a foot washer, got some clean feet now, we good to go, we can go about our business. And Jesus wanted to make it clear, because he didn't do anything without a lesson or having some intention in what he did. He said, look, do you know what I just did for you? And verse 13 says, you call me Lord, and you say, well, so am I. If then, verse 14, so if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also, hear this, church, hear this, you also go out to wash one another's feet. That's what he said. He said, I did this, but it's not just so you can have clean feet. Because sometimes we happy about that. My feet clean, how about yours? Come on, we look at it in a different light. Oh, I'm in the church, I'm serving God, what about you? And we think it's about going to church and being holy and everything else, and that is good. But the reality is God sanctified you, not just so you can go around with a badge on or Christian hat or say I'm saved and be better than other people. No, that don't make us better. What makes us righteous is that we do what the Father has called us to do. And he said, this is the lesson. What I've done to you, you go do to others. Come on, if I helped you up, go help somebody else up. Come on, that's the most amazing thing. Some people who God has bought from the rubbish and helped them up, picked them up, brushed off the raggedness of their life, but yet they won't help anybody else. Come on, we got to be able to say, well, God, you did that for me. Guess what? Well, how can I do it for somebody else? Come on, I look for opportunities to help people who've been where I've been or who are going where I've been. Why? Because if God can do it for me, I know he can do it for them. Come on, some people run the other way when they see somebody who was just like them or had been raggedy just like them. And instead of the burden of ministry to help them where they are, they run from them and point fingers at where they are. Come on, we got to change this dynamic and so that we are living our life, not just doing what we want to do, but doing for others. Come on, first, verse 15, Jesus makes it clear. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Come on, church, we've got to get this principle in our spirit so that we are living not just for ourselves, but we're living for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God. Well, we've been separated for this. We've been called for this. And as we live for this season and this moment in time in our life, that God will use us not just to do ministry for ourselves, but to do ministry for others. Well, I know it's a great work ahead of us, church. And for many of our lives, this is just the first step. But it is the unity of the body of Christ and how we work together. Come on, I'm telling you, we can do so much together. Way more together than we ever do apart. It's just learning to do for others. And as we do so, God will do for us. You watch and see. So as we close today, I invite you as always. Come on, change your life. If you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and like many people, they're going their own way and doing their own thing, and God has to get your attention. Come on, God just said, you're just one prayer away from making it right with me. Of submitting your will to his will. Because that's the key. It's not our will, but his will be done. He's the one who made the price and paid the price for us. So we thank him for that. But if you have not made him the Lord and Savior of life, he's just waiting for you to make the commitment. Scripture says if you will confess the Lord, then you will receive the Lord. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if that's you today, as we say this prayer today as we close, make this prayer your prayer. And I encourage you, get into your word. Let God speak to you. He wants to speak to you each and every day. Amen. Father, we bless and thank you. And if you said this prayer with me today, make this your prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Father, I know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. But today I pray the grace of God and the reconciliation of God be mine. God, as I walk in a new way and a new light, as I receive and sit as Jesus washed my feet, as he cleansed me of my old ways and my old thoughts and my own doings and my own self-thought of myself, and give me a new mind and a new heart to serve him with gladness. I pray, God, now you enrich my life like never before. Help me to see as you see and hear as you hear and be as you are. And I give you praise for what you're doing. Forgive me. Give me a new footstep. Give me a new pattern of life. Give me a new way of thinking, Father, so that as I live, I glorify you. And above all, help me to do for others as you have done for me. And for this, I praise you, God, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer, God welcomes you into the kingdom. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, he says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things will become new. Come on, let God do something new in your life. Come on, we all need his refreshing. So I invite you today to continue to stay connected. Stay plugged in. We can do a lot more together as we stay plugged in for the kingdom of God. So I'll see you on Wednesday night. We'll be studying the Bible again, and God's still going to be speaking to us about the unified church and keeping us stayed together. Because many times we are letting the lapse of times and the lapse of distance between us keep us from staying plugged in. God says, you don't have to be that way. Come on, you can know the need. Come on, I challenge all my leaders. They're calling on the prayer lines on Friday. I don't know what need's going to come up that you can meet. I don't know what prayer that's going to come up that you should be praying for. But if you're not connected and you're not even listening into the prayer line, you don't even know. You wake up, you go to sleep, and you know not the difference. So I challenge not all my leaders, make sure that you are in on the prayer line, even if you're listening in, so that you can be a part of others and not just you. Come on, it's a spirit. We have to break it. We have to break the mentality that the world's trying to give us to be isolated, independent spirits. Don't work that way. We're all connected. The body is always connected. And if we live independently, that's the way we'll exist. And when we need what we need, we won't find the need there because we're not connected. Come on, get connected. Stay connected so that God can get the glory out of us. Come on, out of we. So let us, let's be diligent in that and serve God with gladness. Amen? So click on the website, find out the information, what's going on. Hopefully soon. Hearing it in the air. Hopefully soon they'll allow us to start having some gatherings. They may not be the full gathering, maybe 50 to start, but hopefully soon we'll be able to have the gatherings and get involved. Even if we have to do multiple services, we're going to challenge ourselves to do more for the Lord. So God bless you. Love you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Amen.